Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
What's going on, guys? Thanks so much for tuning in to today's show. Got a great one for you today where I welcome Sheila Robinson Kiss. And Sheila is an MSNBC featured mental health expert and leads the Rebalancing America and Beyond initiative. She is a social entrepreneur focused on providing exceptional mental health education and impactful relationship advice on grassroots, national, and global scale. And today, Sheila and I dive into what to do if you don't feel like your partner has your back. Or maybe you're listening, you're like, I don't feel like I really have my partner's back. And certainly that's not a feeling we want. We want to feel like we're a team. And Sheila gives us some great tools to identify the issue, the underlying issue there, and how to communicate with our partner if we don't feel like they have our back, and how to form a tighter bond and feel like we got each other's back, like we're a team. And Sheila gives some great actionable tips on how to do that. I really enjoyed today's conversation. I hope you guys do too. As always, thanks for tuning in. Hope you're having a wonderful day wherever you're listening from, and enjoy today's show. Hi, Sheila. Thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Today, we are going to talk about something that you're very passionate about, and that is the most important feeling your partner must have consistently in a relationship. So let's start by having you tell us what that feeling is, and we will talk about how we can improve it, cultivate it for ourselves and with our partner.
Okay, wonderful. You know, I've been doing this work, it'll be 25 years in February, and the most important, you know, the cornerstone, this is what I talk to couples about. If you really want that, you know, robust, connected, bonded feeling with your partner, they need to really feel and receive on a consistent basis, quite frankly, that you've got their back. You have their best interest at heart. And when you are admitting that and they feel that on a consistent basis, it raises the vibration of the relationship. It cements the bond, and boy, does it check a lot of boxes.
What can someone do if they're listening to this and they're like, yeah, I don't really feel like my partner has my back, you know, and obviously sometimes it's a little bit of a feeling, or it might be a lot. How can we think about that individually, and how can we communicate that to our partner?
Well, you know, the last word you said is key. You know, everything, the relationship will rise and fall on communication. And if you're not feeling that from your partner, rather than let resentments build, rather than let the relationship drift off into the abyss, it really is time to sit down and have a conversation. That doesn't need to be something that's, you know, nasty or accusatory, you know, just very plain and simple. You know, darling, I don't have the feeling lately that we're working as a team. I don't feel like you have my back, and I want you to feel that, and I want to feel that coming from you. So it really does start with communication. And then beyond that, being very transparent about, because you having my back, every relationship is different. what that would look like for me, it may be different for you. And then communicating some of the things that you would like to see that would really generate that feeling. So it really starts with, you know, just being transparent about how you're feeling and where the relationship is.
What are some realistic expectations? You said communicating some things that we would like to see. I think sometimes we have unrealistic expectations about what our partner should do. That word should, right? What are some realistic expectations for how a partner should act that we feel we're on the same team, that they got our back?
Yeah, I have to tell you, one of the biggest complaints that I hear when couples reach out is, you know, Sheila, we have something that looks like time is spent together. We're kind of in the same room, or we're, you know, X, Y, Z, but we're not spending that quality time together. I don't feel like I'm a priority. I think a base level expectation in a relationship. I mean, it's called significant other because your partner should be significant above all others. Do you have time set aside? Even if it's just a couple minutes. One of the things, you know, I tell couples to do every day, you should have a 10-second huddle where you are holding your partner, you hug them, and you say to them some version of, I want the best for you. It seems like something so basic and elementary, but that little gesture alone, I've seen it do a lot to restore the bond in relationships. So, you know, full circle to answer your question, I think a reasonable expectation is that we would have, you know, something that we're doing, you know, every day, just a little thing to cement our bond, and time set aside during the week and during the month to nurture the bond. That's generally what a primary issue is just relationship drift.
Certainly that is something that's going to come up. And we've talked about that on the show, ways to cultivate connection. And it does take a concerted effort, but I want to focus on this feeling that our partner has our back. So let's say we go to our partner and we communicate, you know, with I statements, we're not accusatory or blaming, but that's not a nice thing to necessarily hear. And so our partner might become defensive. What are some things we could say to kind of get them at ease and begin to bond and get each other's back?
You know, I'm a firm believer that everything has to do with, it's not necessarily what you say, it's really the delivery, you know, how you're communicating it. So, you know, one recommendation I have is to, if this is your truth, I will say, I'll put a caveat there. If this is your truth and you truly do care and love your partner, just start there. You know, I care about you. You are the most important person to me in the world. And that's why I want to sit down and have this conversation. And you really open it up that way. I think if your partner is over defended, you know, and this can happen a lot, or super sensitive, or you're not even in the habit inside of your relationship to have an open, honest dialogue, just be real with yourself. It can be intimidating to sit down. You know, it's interesting that we don't have a problem getting naked with one another, but then, you know, having these front-facing, heart-to-heart conversations is very hard for a lot of people. So I suggest start with the truth. You know, I'm coming to you just out of love, you know, and I want you to be happy. I want you to be happy. And I want to feel the same way. So that can soften it a little bit. But the reality is every part of a relationship is not going to be easy and pleasant. And sometimes we have to get in the saddle of that discomfort and sit with it and cut through it to get to better.
What would you tell someone that's listening who is feeling a lot of anxiety about coming to their partner with this? You've given us some great tips on how to approach it, what to say, but working up that courage to have those difficult conversations in a relationship.
Yeah, one of the things that I say to folks, and it's pretty black and white, is the anxiety, that's going to be normal, especially if you're not in a routine of communicating your feelings or communicating at this level. But you have to ask yourself, how do I feel right now? You know, I'm not comfortable and I'm feeling bad in the relationship now. I think a fair trade-off for a shot at some relief and release and elevation is, you know what, my hands may sweat a little bit, you know, my voice may crack a bit, but I'm already feeling extremely uncomfortable. I'm already feeling bad, you know. So if you look at it from that perspective, this is a way to get you out of a situation that already doesn't feel good. So it's just kind of playing with perspective.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. When you work full-time, have kids, and run a podcast, it's hard to make time for a multiple-step skincare protocol. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. Let me repeat it. They make it easy. No complicated routine, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. If you're looking for skincare products that are simple and effective, for a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase when using the code IDO when you check out at oneskin.co. I've been using OneSkin's body lotion for about a month, and I've already seen noticeable improvements with small wrinkles and textures on my skin, specifically on the back of my neck and the back of my hands, two places where I get a lot of sun. Plus, my skin looks and feels healthier all around. It's all thanks to OneSkin's revolutionary OS-01 peptide, the first ingredient proven to deactivate aging cells responsible for lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Unlike traditional skincare products that only mask symptoms, OneSkin pioneered a new approach integrating tissue engineering and cutting-edge science to enhance skin biology for lasting resilience against aging. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code IDO at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code IDO. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support your show and tell them we sent you. Do you want to know one of my favorite meals? It's a slice of toasted bread with tomato, mozzarella, basil, olive oil, salt and pepper, and a little drizzle of balsamic glaze. Makes my heart happy. It's so simple. It's so delicious. And I love that all the ingredients get to show off their individual flavors. I used to eat it all the time as my easy go-to meal. And then all of a sudden, there was a ton of messaging out there telling me that I shouldn't eat carbs and that I shouldn't eat bread and that bread is bad. And I hate to admit it, but I cut out bread entirely for the longest time. And it wasn't until recently that I started to understand that not all bread is created equal. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. I highly recommend that you give their bread a try. They're giving Relationship Advice listeners 10% off when you visit hero.co and use the code IDO at checkout. I was so excited to discover Hero Bread. It's truly amazing, and they've made a product that is tasty and soft while having 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and high in fiber. I'm not going to lie, their white bread is so good, and it makes the best tomato and mozzarella sandwich. Last week, Stella and I were back in Florida visiting our family, and we all walked to the lake, and the only bread we had in the house was Hero Bread. So we grabbed a slice, walked to the lake, and by the time we got there, Stella had eaten the whole piece of bread and, of course, wanted more. So the poor ducks didn't get any Hero Bread, but Stella did. Since I had cut out bread for a while, every time I ate low quality bread, my body felt bad. It felt bloated and I didn't feel great. But with Hero Bread, I feel good after eating it, which makes my life so much easier because now I can go back to my easy grab and go sandwiches when I'm on the run. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code IDO at checkout. That's IDO at HERO.CO.
What are some reasons that people may, I don't want to say just drift apart, but not feel like they have their partners back? For the person listening, it's like, yeah, I don't really feel like I have my partner's back. And maybe I feel like a lot of times that would be because they don't feel like they have their back.
Yeah, I think, it's an interesting question. I think there could be millions of different reasons, but I can share with you some of the reasons that couples have shared with me. One of them has to do with the relationship having moved into a stale place, that maintenance has not been there. You know, we really just, it's back to that drift. We don't feel as close anymore. Other reasons are just the general weight of how busy we all are in our lives and in this world, and just not taking the time to nurture the bond. Sometimes a big one I see is past resentments and hostilities that have never been dealt with. You know, it's the old sweep it under the rug, never deal with it. And I tell people, you know, you can decide, you know, not to do the apologies, not to work through it. But like my grandfather used to say, it's like that, you know, the refrigerator, the bottom of the drawers where you have the cheese and the celery, and you open it up and it's like, oh my God, what happened? I don't want to clean this up. And you go back 6 months later and it's worse. So the words, how we speak, what we say, things that haven't been processed, it'll sit there. It'll sit there and it becomes the Grand Canyon between you. So those are a few of the reasons that folks just don't, you know, I don't feel like my partner has my back. I feel like I'm living with him. I see him every day, but I feel ghosted emotionally.
My feeling is that people who are insecurely attached may also struggle with that feeling, even if, let's say, a partner is actively trying to support their partner and have their back. But I feel like sometimes people just aren't in a place to receive that.
Oh, yeah. I could not agree more. And I think, you know, often when this subject comes up, people are tempted to sugarcoat it and dance around it. The reality is you could be paired with someone who is, whether it's mental illness or whether it's just deep insecurities they haven't worked through, you can do backflips. You could be doing everything right. They are just not in a place within themselves, and you're not going to get them there to receive it. And that's a whole different conversation. That's something where, you know, I love you dearly, and I want to see you get some support so that, you know, we can have the bonded relationship and connection that I know there's the potential to have it. But that, you know, that's a whole different ball game. And I see that quite a lot. And people just, you know, they're banging their head against the wall. What else can I do? What else can I do? And the answer to them is try to support them into getting some help, because, you know, this is not something that you're going to be able to resolve for them. That's deep internal work they need to do. And that's just the truth.
And I know we don't have the time and space to dive super deep into that, but what could be some reasons if someone's listening and they're like, yeah, my partner is supportive. I know they have my back, but sometimes I'm my own worst enemy. What are some things besides definitely always recommend, you know, getting help from a professional therapist? That's going to be amazing. But what are some things a partner like this can start to think about to change the story, to change the narrative, to start to trust their partner more?
Sure. I think it wouldn't be an issue, if you will, of trusting their partner. It really has to do with trusting themselves and holding themselves accountable. You know, one of the things that I tell men and women, you know, who reach out and who are really struggling with deep insecurities, not able to receive the full breath and depth of the warmth, affection, love, and support from their partner, I tell them, get real clear. You know, get out of the game zone and get real clear on what is your stuff. And you do this by, you know, having that come to Jesus time with yourself, and you write it down like, this is my baggage. This is my stuff. These are my perceptions. These are my insecurities. Because the clearer you are on what your stuff is, when it rears its ugly head, then you won't project that onto them and go further and further into eroding your relationship. And accountability, it serves that individual very well, because they can look themselves in the mirror and say, you know what? This is really, really hard, but I'm dealing with it, you know, and you can get yourself some tools. There's thousands of videos on YouTube about, you know, dealing with personal insecurities, various toolkits. And so you have something that you can do for yourself instead of projecting all of that onto your relationship. And I'm just a firm believer that our partners are meant to come into our lives and compliment us and love us and support us. But there are pieces of all of us that we are accountable for. And if you put that on your partner unfairly, it's just an excellent way to create a lot of exhaustion. So, you know, that's something to think about.
That's an important distinction to say, hey, this is my stuff, and to recognize that and to communicate that to your partner. Because let's say there's a partner who's like, my partner has no reason not to feel like I have their back. I'm doing all these things, but they don't feel it. And that can be frustrating in itself. But then the other partner, if they recognize that, that's a great start. And then they could say, hey, you know, I know you have my back. I'm working through my stuff.
Yes, exactly. You know, I am a highly sensitive person, come from a challenging background of neglect growing up. And I knew very well when I met my husband, there were some triggers. And I was very clear with him, you know, there are things I'm always going to come to you if I need to, just that little extra encouragement. But there's things that I just don't bring to him. And you know what? And when they rear their ugly heads, I take responsibility. You know, this is my stuff. I'm sorry. Seeped out, slipped through. And that's a very healthy place to be in a relationship. And when we get those lines blurred and just are not accountable for what we're bringing to it, good, bad, ugly, and indifferent, it's unfair to us and it's unfair to the partnership. So what you said is really spot on.
We've talked a lot about identifying kind of the negative side of this and how to approach it with our partner. Let's talk a little bit about, let's say we have the conversation, we're on the same page, maybe we're working on our own stuff. How can we move towards that positive place of really forming that bond of being a team, having each other's back?
Yeah, what I tell folks is when you are in that zone, in that space, Sheila, we've moved into this positive place. I tell them to own it, you know, to brag about it inside of their relationship and get things positioned. So these rituals, if you will, they're automated. So like I said, your partner has to be the most significant. Have that time, you know, I call this the caring connection calendars. Have that time pre-planned. You know, hey, we always have something amazing and wonderful to look forward to. That is our relationship standard. Creating the things that you do consistently, and you do them to such an extent, you know, that huddle that you do in the morning, And you make it a part of the relationship to the point that if you fall off, hey, what's missing? We're uncomfortable here. So the folks who are moving further and further into that positive, elevated realm, the word that I have for you is intentionality. Get intentional about keeping your relationship lifted. Don't just have it where, you know, if we get to it, say, no, we honor our Friday date night. You know, when he has something or she has something that's, you know, amazing in life or work, we look for opportunities to celebrate one another. So it really has to do with the level of intentionality is the word that I come back to.
I love it. And I love how you said, keep the relationship lifted. Can you talk about, besides just saying, okay, Friday's our date night and making that a priority, what are some other ways we can create that importance around the relationship?
Yeah, I have so many ideas and so many things that I do and support couples in doing. So I talked to you a little bit about the, and you don't, it doesn't have to be in the form that I'm saying, but there should be some ritual every day of touch. You know, it doesn't have to mean, you know, taking your clothes off, getting in bed, but there needs to be just a physical connection with intention every day. It could be a long embrace. You know, one of the things that me and my husband have throughout the house, we just have these little, they're almost like a little mistletoe. Not that you need any excuse to embrace, but we do it in a fun way because we want to make sure as we're moving throughout our day, we have that physical connection. Another thing that I really highly recommend for couples is you have a time set aside. Some like to do it every other week. Some do it once a month. I think in a healthy relationship, you're spending more time enjoying the relationship and not processing every single thing. But there should be a set aside time. I call those couples retreats. And it could just be, you know, an hour or two where you really do sit down and check in on the relationship. How are you doing? How are things going? Anything you want to run past me? This is nice because you always know we have a ritual. I don't have to necessarily hold on to anything, or I don't have to feel like I have to process it in the moment. We have set aside time every month on our relationship retreat to do that. You know, other ideas I call it express romance. You know, a lot of couples, Sheila, we're so busy, we just can't plan X, Y, Z. I talk about that picnic, you know, that indoor picnic before bed, just get your blanket, a little wine and cheese. These are things that don't take all day. But when those constant streams of time together, different things, me and my husband, we keep a journal. We've had it for the last 12 years. We don't write in it every day, but for the last 12 years, there's love notes that flow back. Some mornings he'll put it on the table. I'm surprised with what he wrote, you know, and there's some months we only do two or three passes on it, but it's romantic. It's sweet, it's nice, and it just keeps the relationship high level lifted. So, I mean, there's hundreds of different things, you know, thousands of ideas if you really go into it. But the whole idea is whatever you do, doing it with intention.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. Hey, Love Tribe, I just want to ask you a few questions. I want to know why you guys are here. Are you here because you want to stop bickering with your partner? Do you want to feel truly heard? Are you looking for ways to reignite your sex life? Or do you want to feel more emotionally connected with your partner? And let's not forget about the fun. Do you long for those fun, giggly moments at the beginning of your relationship? Over the last decade of hosting this podcast with Chase, these have been our top questions. And we get it. We've been there. And that's why we created Spark My Relationship course, because we wanted to put the tools to unlocking a fulfilling relationship right in your hands. So we're offering this course, Spark My Relationship, for only $100 until April 6th. In less than 90 days, this self-paced course will help you create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner, all while having fun doing it. We've collaborated with over 15 psychologists and therapists to bring you the strategies that marriage therapists teach their clients. This offer is only going to last until Saturday, April 6th. So head on over to our website, sparkmyrelationship.com, and use the code FLASH24 at checkout to get the course for only $100. That's nearly 60% off, and it won't last. The sale ends April 6th. That's sparkmyrelationship.com and use the code FLASH24 to get our course for only $100. Hey, Love Tribe, I have just a few questions for you. I want to know why you are here listening to the podcast. Are you here because you want to stop bickering with your partner and you want to feel truly heard? Or are you looking for ways to reignite your sex life? Or do you want to feel more emotionally connected with your partner? Or do you just long for those fun, giggly moments of connection that you used to have at the beginning of your relationship? Well, over the last decade of hosting this podcast, those were the main reasons people tuned into the show. And we get it. We've been there. So we created our course, Spark My Relationship, because we wanted to put those tools to unlocking a fulfilling relationship right in your hands. We're offering $100 off our course, Spark My Relationship, which is a self-paced course designed to help you create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner and have an amazing time doing it. We've collaborated with over 15 therapists and psychologists to bring you the strategies that marriage therapists teach their clients. So to unlock this special offer of our course, our listeners can visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock to get $100 off. That's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock.
As someone who's a mental health expert and married, how do you balance enjoying the relationship and not overprocessing everything?
Yeah, I can tell you there's not a lot of processing that goes on in my marriage. We genuinely, we are friends. We enjoy each other. I mean, if something comes up, we talk about it. But I think one of the signs of a healthy relationship is you don't have to overthink it. And, you know, one of the things, the cornerstone for both of us is just high gratitude. We live and exist every single day in high levels of gratitude. And that checks a lot of boxes. You know, if you stop, I like this phrase, wait, W-A-I-T, why am I talking? You know, and you know, before you complain and get into all of that, you know, stop and ask yourself, you know, what was my life like before my partner came in? A lot of it just has to do with intentionality around perspective and how you choose to treat your partner and hold that momentum. I think that if you're constantly over-processing and over-talking and overthinking, it may be time for some deeper level healing in the relationship. Because my belief is for a healthy relationship or one that's coming into health, because all relationships can derail, the lion's share of our time should be spent, you know, enjoying one another in gratitude, laughing. We do the process work to stay on track and to clear things out if there's been a hurt, or we do the process work to celebrate our elevation. And then we get right back into the movement and momentum in the relationship.
Gratitude and the WAIT acronym are so valuable, I think, especially because people tuning into this podcast are obviously seeking out relationship advice, how to improve themselves, improve their relationship. And maybe this is the only episode they're listening to, or maybe they've listened to all 300 plus. And as someone who's personally very interested in improving myself, improving my relationships, sometimes I do have to remind myself, like, all right, I got to do my work, but I don't need to always be processing things. And I think that's so valuable to keep that perspective.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I process with people for a living, and very intentionally when I was choosing my partner, I don't know if you caught my recent piece for Psychology Today. I talk about compatibility and chemistry. I knew that I needed to select someone who was just light, you know, light and airy. I love my work, but the processing and overthinking, I think it can be debilitating inside of a relationship. I think we process to clarify, and then let's just get back into the good stuff here. You know, that's my feeling on it. So I'm all for, you know, talking and healing, but I also quite frankly feel that if that is all a relationship has become, I think you need to be looking at some different things here, because that's not what it's about. That's not what it's all about, in my opinion.
Exactly. And one of the things I've realized personally is that, and this is not breaking news, but a lot of relationship stress starts with ourselves. It's not about our partner. And so we can do the processing, but a lot of times that's individual work. And I talk about it a lot on the show that it's like, it's not up to us to change our partner. Even, you know, if we want to go to him and say, hey, I don't feel like we're on the same team, you know, I love you and I want to get closer. That's important to communicate, but there's probably a lot of underlying things there. Maybe you can't receive that teamwork, you know? So diving into that is so crucial and valuable.
I love what you're saying. And people skip over that. And I wish they wouldn't, because it's a fact and a reality that there's work that a great many people need to do for themselves, within themselves, and it gets projected into the relationship and projected on the relationship or the other person. And we need to stop skating around it, because it really can get in the way, you know, bringing things full circle. This feeling of I have your back, you know, I've seen it many, many times over the years where, hey, I'm telling you, this person has your back. I've rarely seen someone go to these extraordinary measures to prove it. You're missing it. You're missing the boat. And then people don't want to hear that they are the problem. But sometimes this is the case. It really is. It's just that simple. And we, you know, you bring in therapists and books, and when really what you need is some accountability and a look in the mirror.
Absolutely. And Sheila, I think you've given myself and our listeners a lot of great things to think about, some tools to bring into the relationship today. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing all this great information. Before we wrap up, can you tell our listeners where they could find you online, and if there's anything that you want to leave our listeners with, and then we'll say goodbye.
Yes. You can, very easy to find, my YouTube channel, Sheila Robinson Kiss, The Lift. You can also find me on Instagram, and feel free to drop me a line at RAB, Rebalancing American Beyond, RAB.Solutions. All of my content is viewer and subscriber driven. So if you have ideas, you want me to do a video on something, it's all driven by all of you. And what I would leave you with is, my feeling on relationships is we are here to really live out our divine purpose, glory, and mission. And your relationship should complement that. And I want everyone to really, as much as you can, ask yourself the question, is that happening in my relationship and in my relationships? And if it is, celebrate it, lift it up. And if it's not, do some adjustment. And if you can't, it's time to look at alternatives. So that's what I'll leave you with. You're here to knock the ball out of the park.
Well, thank you so much, Sheila. I'll have the links to all those resources in the show notes and on the website at idopodcast.com. And thanks for taking the time to come on the show.
Thank you.
As always, thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode. As always, all the links to the guest as well as any of their recommendations will be in the show notes page. You can find the link to that in the episode description or by going to idopodcast.com. Click on the podcast tab up at the top and you will have access to all the episodes that we've ever done. There are over 300 of them. And while you're on our website, if you haven't checked out our free 14-day happy couple challenge, we really hope you do. It's a free email challenge that we send to you. It's 14 days of fun, easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And if you're looking for something that provides a little more help with working on your relationship, whether it's improving intimacy or communication with your partner, or just bringing the spark back, we would love for you guys to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. We're offering $100 off to all of our listeners if you go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. We've worked with over 15 psychologists and therapists to create the real life tools and strategies that they are teaching their clients. So we wanted to give them to you. It's a self-paced online course that can be done in as little as a month or up to 3 months. You can really decide how much or how little you want to do with your partner or maybe just yourself. So we hope you guys check that out. It's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Have a great day.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.